Good morning. Welcome to Bethany this morning. I'm glad that you have joined us for worship. My name's Pastor Jared, and I just want to extend a warm welcome to everybody this morning as we begin our time together. Just want to highlight a few announcements. They're always listed on the back of the bulletin in case you haven't seen them there or missed them on the screen. Our Lenten Bible study continues this Thursday. Join us at 6 p.m. for a meal and 7 p.m. for the Bible study downstairs in the fellowship. And we're doing chapters 8 through 13 in Irresistible this week. So even if you haven't been with us the past 2 weeks, haven't read the book, whatever, come join in, eat, and learn together. If you are planning on coming for the meal, there is a sign-up sheet on the table over here to my left. And if you please sign up so that we have a count for dinner. Also, don't forget that sub and pretzel sandwiches can be picked up this Thursday. So if you ordered those, please pick those up. There's a Vacation Bible School meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. And we are looking for donations and people to help and work for the Bunny Breakfast on April 13th from 8 to 11. And there's more information and signups on the table here to the left as well. I think we have a flyer about the Bunny Breakfast in your bulletin, so take that, hand that to somebody who might be interested in coming and invite them. And then also, one last announcement, we have an Easter flower order form in your bulletin this morning. So if you're interested in purchasing Easter flowers, prices are there. You can order what quantity you want to, and this can go in the offering plate, and we'll take care of getting those for you, and they'll be here available Easter Sunday. Okay, I think that is our announcements for this morning. As we begin worship and as we begin our time together, I'd like to invite us, as I typically do, to center ourselves and to prepare ourselves for worship. As I say often, I don't know what your week was like, and it could have been busy, it could have been unexpected, it could have been joyous, or could have been none of the above. But this morning, as we gather together, as we meet together to be the body of Christ, we come to worship. So let us focus our hearts, our minds on that, on the worship of Christ our Savior. So let us begin with a moment of silence. Please join me in the call to worship that's printed in your bulletin and will be on the screen as well. And please stand for that. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in the dry and weary land where there is no water. Because your steadfast love is better than life, our lips will praise you. We will bless you as long as we live. We will lift up our hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. You have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. Our souls cling to you. Your right hand upholds us. Let us join together in our opening hymn, number 338, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. 338. Let us pray. Dear blessed Savior, we come this morning rejoicing in your provision, rejoicing in your presence, the way that you walk beside us each and every day. Help us to feel that this morning as we gather in worship, as we sing songs of praise, as we reflect on Scripture and hear your Spirit speak to us. Move in our midst, Lord. Awaken our hearts in service and love of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue in worship this morning by singing number 182, All for Jesus, 182. Please be seated. Now is the time in our service where we come before the Lord with our prayers and our joys. I invite you to take note of the prayer list printed in the bulletin and remember those items in prayer this week. Also, if you have any prayer requests or joys that you would like to request prayer for, there are cards in the rack. Pew racks there. Fill those out and drop those in the offering plate, and those items will be prayed for this week. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we again come before you, thanking you for this time to gather as your body here that you have knitted together, that you care for and that you love. And Lord, we acknowledge that sometimes we forget that. We get distracted our vision slips to something else. And it's from that that we then draw our worth, our value, and we lose sight of who you are, of what you've done for us, and of who you call us to be. So this morning we come and we lay all of ourselves at your feet. We lay our joys as we rejoice in the blessings that you have given us this week, in the ways that you have cared for us, in the surprises and unexpected moments of good news that you have given. But Lord, we also come and we lay all of our burdens, our concerns, our worries at your feet. For loved ones in need of healing, for uncertain situations where we don't know where to turn or what to do, for comfort as we mourn or say goodbye or as things change. Lord, for the ways that you are working in our lives this Lent, as we seek to give up control, give up greed, give up comparison, and trust in you. Lord, we also this morning come with heavy hearts, thinking of those affected in the Midwest, of floods, in Africa, around the world at places of violence and strife. Lord, may your peace and love reign. May we be hands and feet to care for those in need. Remind us of that, too, in our own community, in the ways in which there is darkness, there is pain. Help us to be your light. Help us to live out your call. And so this morning, we bring all of these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue in worship this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Lord, you have poured out many blessings upon us, including what we give back to you this morning. May we give out of joy and excitement for the ways in which you will take, multiply these gifts, and use them to grow your kingdom here and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue in worship through song this morning as we sing I Need Thee Every Hour, number 174. I Need Thee Every Hour.
The scripture reading is found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, and is found on page 1 of the Pew Bibles. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth."
was the giving up going? What have been the challenges? What have been the successes? How has the Spirit spoken to you during this process? We are continuing our giving up series this morning, the third Sunday in Lent. And I was reminded this week as I began prepping for this and thinking through some of the rest of the series that this is not a once and done thing. We can't just now check off the box that we have given up greed, that we've given up control, and that somehow we're good, right? It's a process. And that's part of the journey of Lent, is that it is a step-by-step 40-day journey, empowered by God to let the Spirit work in our lives, to transform us and mold us more into disciples of Christ. And so we continue that journey this morning as we talk about giving up comparison. This quote got me thinking this week as I was reading, and I was reading this book, Work Rules, Insights from Inside Google. Nothing to do with sermon, was for work, for Jubilee. Thinking through how we do our hiring practices and all sorts of stuff. But this quote stuck out to me on Tuesday as I was thinking about this sermon. In the chapter about employee evaluations, the author says, "As children, we line up from the shortest to the tallest. We are graded and told we are outstanding, satisfactory, or need improvement. As we get older, we are ranked in our classes, and we take tests that compare us to national averages. We apply to university mindful of how each school is ranked. Our first 20 years are spent being compared to others. It is no wonder, then, that as adults, we recreate those same conditions when we design our work environments." This assessment was spot on for me as I think about my own journey in life, to think for so much of my experience, I am held in comparison to somebody else. I graduated 7th in my high school class with a 3.999. When the principal who was announcing said my GPA at graduation, he said, "Ooh, so close." And I was like, wow. Now, we could get above a 4.0 because of weighted grades and stuff like that, but it was just like, yeah, I know that's so close. You didn't have to say it out loud. But we use those types of things to rank ourselves, to tell us our abilities, to let us know who we are, to inform our identities as individuals. And even once we move past maybe the school age or things like that, and as the author of the Work Rules book was talking about, employers or places of employment, we have employee evaluations and we have all these things, and we want those things even though we hate the process. Like, as a manager, I hate employee evaluations, but we want them. And when they go away, we're like, well, it's, how do I know if I'm doing a good job, or, you know, and we want this comparison, or how do I know I'm better than so and so? We compare salaries, we compare positions and responsibilities, we do all sorts of things to rank ourselves, to judge others and ourselves even. We use them to build ourselves up, to make us look good, to say, hey, look at what I have achieved, where I am ranked. And we beat ourselves over the head when we don't measure up. I did that a few years ago with a friend of mine who is a great friend when we were in college and joined me for my first year of seminary. But somehow I was not in a church ministry position at the time, and he never seemed like he really cared about school. Like, he was always one of those, like, just a very free spirit almost. And he got a church, a pastor, and a lead pastor before I did. And I said, I worked harder. You know, I did better in school. You know, I stuck it out. And so we're all subject to that temptation to compare ourselves. And it should be said that not all comparison is bad. We like to comparison shop our cars, and you know, that's fine, or houses or whatever we're purchasing. That's probably good forms of comparison. We need to compare ourselves somewhat to a standard. If we're expected to do something at work, and we don't meet that standard, that is a fair comparison, and that can be important for growth and learning and for transformation within our own personal lives. But too often and too quickly, comparisons can become about our self-worth. And more of who we are is judged by other people, and we start to lose sight of really where our value comes from and where our identity really should be rooted. And so, yes, there are healthy comparisons, but it seems like our tendency is to make most comparisons unhealthy, to name winners and losers, and to not grow from something, but to wallow or brag in those comparisons. And so we need to give up unhealthy comparisons. We need to give up comparisons as we continue our Lenten journey. And we need to remind ourselves, like I said, of some key points of our identity, of who we are. So that's why you heard read this morning Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. The story of the creation of humanity, the end of the story of the overall creation, our beginnings, right? The beginnings of the nation of Israel, our beginnings as humans. And this is not so much a conversation about science, about creation versus evolution, but this is a story about what these passages or these verses say that we are. Say that we were created to be. Throughout ancient literature of the time, other nations, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, you know, other people that pop up in the Bible, the Egyptians, humanity is not typically seen as a good thing. In their creation stories, in their stories of how the world is formed, humans are often seen as a mistake. Humans are often seen as a necessary evil, and so that the gods don't have to work. You need slaves, and so you need humans. And so humans will feed you, and they'll do sacrifices and all sorts of stuff so the gods can sit and relax and have a nice, happy day on Mount Olympus. They don't need to do anything, right? So humans fill a purpose. But it's not exactly the most wonderful purpose. Humans are, at best, a nuisance. Fickle and annoying and complaining, and they never give sacrifices, right? And so that's why you have to punish them, and you have to wake them up and get their attention and all those sorts of stuff. But here again, the words from Genesis. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish and the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. A different focus. A different intention. Humans are not some mistake. They are not made by accident. They are not made to serve God with every whim. They are not made to be punished. They are not made to just be an annoyance. They are created, we are created in the very image of God. So God created humankind in his image. That should be a profound statement. Created in the image of God. Each one of us. Each one of us. Created in the image of God. And yes, the image can get a little messed up. It can get a little distorted. We can lose focus. Sin is real. Brokenness, pain, suffering, the ways in which we have rebelled against God are true, and they affect that image. They cover it up. Like years of dirt and soil and smoke upon an ancient canvas of art. Sin can dirty that image. But no matter how hard I think sin tries, it cannot erase that image. It cannot change the fact that each of us have at the very core of who we are something related to the image of God. That is what it means to be human. That is the beginning of our story. That is an ultimate truth that we as Christians, that we as followers of Jesus, followers of the Most High God, claim, hang our hats on, and say, yes, this is who we are. And so in our attempts to compare ourselves to others, we are always gaining value, gaining importance from my relation to somebody else, from my relation to my skills, my sets of abilities, to somebody else's sets of abilities, to what they have gained, to what they have. But all of that seems to melt away in the very true fact that we are created in the image of God. Our worth is not determined by what we do. Our worth is determined by who God has made us. And so comparison should bear no weight. Comparison should make no difference. Because it's not who we really are. It's not who we are made in the image of. God has claimed us. God loves us. God walks beside each one of us as followers of Christ. And we have this knowledge and this firm foundation that we can face all trials, all tribulations, all ups and downs, highs and lows. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is our identity. Not my grade point average, not my SAT score, not my rank in my seminary class. I was reminded the fall semester, I took a class, online class, and I was doing Bible studies, working full-time, doing stuff here at church, and trying to take a two-credit class, and I got a C on a paper. And for me, that is devastating, to get a C on a paper. But a very wise friend told me, he said, guess what? He said, let me let you in on a little secret. You know what they call somebody who gets a C and an A in seminary? Pastor. Makes no difference. You still passed. You still got the credit, right? So what does it matter if this one paper that you got a C on about, I don't even remember what it was about. What does it matter? What difference does it make? So your identity in God hang on the fact that you got a C. And I think all of us, it may not be grades, it may not be education. For me, that has always been a crucial part of what I have done. That has been a crucial part of my identity. And so I wrestle and struggle with not framing myself in those terms. For each of us, we may have different stories in which different things are the thing we always compare one another to. And I want you to hear that you can give that up, right? That you can lay that down, that you can say, guess what? I am made in the image of God. Because we can fall into this temptation as a church too. We can fall into this temptation as groups of people. We can fall into this huge temptation to compare ourselves. And we can lose sight of what God has empowered and called us each to do. Because each is gifted, right? We talked about that about a month or so ago. Each of us is gifted. Each of us is blessed and called. And so, yeah, we can look at ourselves as individuals, as a group, as a church. We can say, well, we don't have all the cool stuff that they do. And we can wallow in that comparison. Or we can trust and lean on God and say, God, you have called us, you have gifted us, and you have empowered us to be who we are. And that's what matters. That's what we are faithful to. Not to our comparison, but to what God has given us, to what God has called us to do. Comparison does not help. It only leads to frustration. It only leads to sadness and depression. It only leads us to give up on what we have been called to do. Let us each and every day, remember where our worth lies. Not in how I compare to you, but in the fact that each of us is made in the image of God. Amen. We continue with our closing response song, Breathe On Me, Breath of God. And this has been our song throughout so far through Lent as our response song. And again, it is our prayer that as we leave this place, that God's Spirit dwells in us and begins the work of transformation. That this week we may give up comparison, but that we also may work at still continuing to give up control and greed. So please stand and sing number 85, Breathe On Me, Breath of God. this week in the knowledge and fact that each of us are not valued based on what we can do or what we can achieve, but are valued and of sacred worth because God has created each of us. Go in peace.